show. It is a Getaway Friday, Friday, August the 11th, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. This show can be heard live every Friday morning from 9:15 until 10 a.m. Repeats on Sunday morning, 8:15 to 9 a.m. and Wednesday and Thursday afternoon, 3:15 to 4 p.m. You can also get it on the website in the archive page, WWGH1071.com. Go to Program Archives. It's the first show under there. And later today, usually before the day is up, it will be on the Facebook page, WWGH Marion, Ohio. So listen to it many ways. And today we have a special guest with Pastor Whitaker. It's Pastor Craig in as well. So we're going to have a fun conversation. I don't think we've done this before. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
You're in trouble now, Scott. We got two pastors on this side of the table. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and our services are at 10:30 on Sunday morning, and a whole lot of other stuff going on during the week. And of course, as usual, I do plug Jeff's Bicycle Shop and Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions, which is a great place to go for your Medicare needs. Today, what a busy day. I know that we were just talking about the busyness that we all have, and I was going to talk about something, and what made me think about this probably was, of course, we know that we had a special election this last week. One group of people were thrilled at the outcome, and another group of people were not so thrilled. So, in thinking about that, I was thinking about, you know, does it really, regardless of the outcome of that, should it really affect anything that we personally do different? Shouldn't we, many times that, we let situations dictate what we're going to do when we should be doing the right thing or doing something all the time. I'll give you a good example this morning, and it's a good uplifting story. I had a nice little fun visit to the hospital here about 6 months ago to have some tests run because I was being a bad boy and not taking care of myself. Anyway, I met a nurse in there. I don't even remember her name. I'm bad with names anyway. But I met a nurse, the nurse that was the main nurse I had while I was in there. And she's a young lady. They had had children, a couple kids. But she and her husband got married, if I'm not mistaken, she told me, at 17 and 18. They had a child on the way. They were just high school kids. But they got married. Now, let's look at that scenario today. You know, you got young couple, high school, child on the way. They get married. What could they do? Well, in many cases today, you know, you're going to try to get help somewhere. You're going to say, you know, parents, you've ruined your life, blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you the story of these two. She went to work. Took care of the child. They adjusted their shifts. She went to work, and he actually went to school. And he went to school and to become a physical therapist. X-ray technician, whatever that degree is in that. But he became an X-ray tech. And then as soon as he was done, he did the same thing. He watched the child. She went to school and became an RN. And here's the two of them now, several years down the road. They are doing extremely well, and it's because their attitude. Their attitude was, okay, here's where we are. What can we do to get on track and do what we still need to do? Now, with the wrong attitude, they'd be a lot of couples today that maybe either be split up, they wouldn't have any money, they would have had struggled and been having to borrow, move in with family, do this, do that, move in with grandparents. No, they decided to take the bull by the horns. And that's your attitude on what you do and how you present yourself. We seem to live today in I give up society, what's the use? And I'll just let you speak on that.
Well, it's interesting because I think, why don't we just do the right thing? I think a lot of people do try to do the right thing, but I think the right thing to different people are different things. And I think it all comes back to how something came to be, much like a couple who got married for whatever reason very young. Now, some people get married very young because maybe there's a baby on the way. Mm-hmm. Some people get married very young because this is my high school sweetheart. Some people get married very young because somebody's going off to war. That used to be a thing. And a lot of times, that was the right thing to do at the time, but they really didn't know the person. And in those situations, it didn't work out because once they really got to know the person, or somebody came back from a war with PTSD, or somebody, you know, once the baby was born, you found out you really did not know the person, then that falls apart, and then you think the right thing to do is to get out of this and try to make the rest of your life a happy experience. Mm-hmm. So I just think for somebody looking on, the right thing might be different than what it actually is.
Yeah, the right thing can definitely be a different thing. But what I mean is having the attitude that, you know, regardless of the situation around me, I'm going to keep a positive attitude and do whatever that right thing is. And, you know, it's I'll give you another good example. People will say, you know, well, I don't bring my kids to church because I knew so-and-so raised their kids in the church, and two of their kids are drug addicts now, and blah, 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 this and that. Well, you know, it doesn't change the fact that your odds are a lot better in doing that. And have we become so complacent that we can't, I'm going to use a grandparent's term now, maybe a great-grandparent term, that we don't put our nose to the grindstone anymore? You know what I mean? Why can't we decide, you know, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do what's right regardless. You know, I need to do this, I need to do A, I need to do B. You see what I mean? And I think that the circumstance, we quit too easy, I guess is what I'm saying today. We just quit too easy. We talked about, before we came on air, talking about marriage. And marriage was meant to be a covenant relationship. Covenants aren't broken. You know, when people stand, I marry people all the time, and they stand there, and one of the part of the wedding vows is, do you promise to love and to cherish, you know, till death you part, you know, sickness and in health, till death you part. And people always, yeah, we sure do, until it doesn't take sickness and health, it doesn't take much for them to just say, you know what, well, I don't think I love them anymore. And I think that people miss out a lot of times when they don't see something through or let people grow. You talked a minute ago about, you know, you don't know somebody initially, maybe, when you get married and you're young. Nobody knows their spouse when they get married. I don't care if you've been dating for 5 years. There's a whole different dynamic once you become married and are in the same house.
I would say that, but I would also say you know somebody better at 5 years than you do at 6 months.
Absolutely.
And I see a lot of 6 months going on now because whichever side it's on, and I just typically use females because I'm a male when I'm making this analogy, but it goes the other way as well. But if you are a female and you are being proposed to 6 months into the relationship, the thinking behind the guy in a lot of cases is not necessarily that I want to live the rest of my life with you. I think that in their mind they believe that, or else why would they be doing it? But it's, I don't want this person to get away. I don't want this person to walk away from me. I don't want them to go around with somebody else. I want to make this very exclusive. Because if you don't do that, then you can just walk right out.
It's really interesting. In my personal situation, my wife and I, the first time we went out or did anything was the middle of July. And we both grew up in Hilliard, and we went to the Hilliard Fair together. In February, 1 week after the blizzard hit, February 78, we were married 6 months later. And in our particular case, I think that our marriage was more out of, we both knew that we needed stability of another person, and we were very young. But here's the thing. I went from the blizzard to a real storm, and it was. But I'll tell you what, we've been married 45 years, and it's because we said, you know what, when times got really tough, and believe me, they have, even between us, you know, we said, you know what, wait a minute, let's stop, let's back up. We need to make this work. I love this person too much. I've got too much of my heart and my life invested in this person just to watch them go down the road. You know, I'd have been one of those people, I think, that even in our most difficult times, when she was probably ready to strangle me and I was ready to strangle her too, if we were separated and gone, I'd have worried myself sick about her. And about you know, is she okay? What's going on? You know, that's what loving someone is. It's not necessarily some emotional thing. It's not sexual. It's not any of that. It's loving someone enough to say, you know what, this person's too important for me. They've been a part of my life, and they need to stay that way. And the relationships are just one of those things. But, you know, just like in this vote we had this last week, you know, if regardless of which side succeeded in that, does the other side say, well, you know what? All right, it is what it is. I give up. I'm not gonna follow my values anymore. No, you still follow your values and do what you're supposed to. Regardless of the fact that, you know, a lot of times in a church situation, you know, a church will have a problem or the pastor will do something. People forget sometimes that pastors are human. And a pastor will have an indiscretion or something that's bad. And that's horrible. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not going to church anymore. My pastor was a fraud. Wait a minute, you didn't believe in Jesus Christ and what he did? I mean, it wasn't between you and God. Of course you keep going to church. Of course you keep supporting your spouse. Of course you keep, you know, just because you got fired from a bad job doesn't mean I'm not going to work anymore. And could you imagine if everyone did that? I think some people did do that, Scott.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. But, you know, it's again, intention of everything. And I believe that intentions are lost. And why have we done this? Why are we doing this? What you know, have you ever heard this line? I'm starting to hear this more and more often where people say, I'm not fulfilled as a person. I don't even know what that means. I mean, you're not happy is, I think, what you're telling me.
I think that's what you're saying is, yeah, you're not happy.
And if you're not happy, people can make you happy for periods of a time, but they are not going to make you happy forever, which is essentially going to be the conundrum of your whole thing. And I'm sorry, I do get a little jaded when somebody is married 3, 4, 5 times. And I, you know what? I ran into a lady who I've known my whole life. I've known my whole life, and I believe she's been married 9 times, and she's married to somebody right now, and I just met the new husband, you know, the 9th new husband I've met in my lifetime this past Saturday. Nice guy, liked him, talked to him, had a great time, nice to meet you, good to meet you, and I like her. She's a nice woman.
Why does she keep getting married?
Good question. That's the why.
I get it, you know.
Why? But I mean, what's the difference, though, really, between 9 and 3? I mean, really, after, like I was saying to Sean this morning, early in the show, I said, one, I can understand. Maybe something went wrong. Maybe there was some kind of mistake. But once you jump in again and the second one doesn't work, then I think you really, because now you've had 2 different men or 2 different women where it didn't work. And at that point, I would think you would start to say, well, maybe I'm just not cut out for this.
Possibly. I guess that certainly can be a the situation. But still, I think that we have to. Well, you talk about being fulfilled, which is happy, right?
I think.
And you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I truly believe that God puts a void in every one of us that needs to be filled. We all have that void. We all, because, you know, I talk to so many people in their final moments, in their final days, in their final weeks, in their final months. As a pastor, that's something that's just part of what we do. And it's amazing how many people will say, you know, I just feel there's something I didn't do, or I just feel I had a purpose. And there is. God gives all of us that purpose. And that is meant to be filled with Him. And in my particular case, and others that have the faith that I do, God fulfills that purpose. Everything else is a bonus. And every one of us, we need to have that filled. I can promise you, if you have a void in your life, another person is not going to be what fills it.
Temporarily.
Yeah. But the point is, you've got to be settled with yourself before you bring that burden onto someone else. Or all you are is, dare I say, a parasite?
Have you ever, now here's and I want to get Pastor Craig in on this, but have you ever kept, being 45 years of marriage, this might be different, but have you ever kept a note that somebody wrote you that, I don't want to call them all love notes or love letters, I don't want to say it's that, but some of it's that, but just a nice note or a nice card that somebody sent you? Okay, have you ever looked at that when maybe that relationship or friendship has ended? And seeing all these nice things they said about you and all this wonderfulness, and you think to yourself, now, what was that? Was that...
I agree. I've had people that it's heartbreaking to me, because I have had people walk out of my life in my life.
Yeah.
And I see where they've sent me a card or said or something really nice, and I do look at that and I think, wait a minute, now what...
Was that phony?
Was that real?
Yeah, exactly.
Or was that just something they kind of felt at the time? Be careful what you tell people. You know, guys, don't tell a girl you love her if you don't.
What is love? See, that was a conversation earlier on with Sean, because he said, you know, I forget what his phrasing was, but he said something to do with love. Well, you know, what's your definition of love? Because I don't think people, coming back to the intentions and should people do the right thing, I think people think they are doing the right thing. I don't think people get in and say, I'm doing the wrong thing here.
Well, of course they don't.
Right.
Of course they don't.
So you can't tell them.
What's love, Craig?
Yeah.
Well, I've been wanting to kind of...
Chime on in.
Well, and I want to talk about this thing, you know, doing the right thing. And it's all about, again, your intentions. And it's... We have to recognize the fact that there's something bigger than us. And unfortunately, lots of times we look at doing the right thing as doing the right thing for me.
Ah, good point.
As opposed to doing the right thing.
Period.
Right. And I want to go back to your original example. These two teenagers, and she gets pregnant. And there's two ways you can look at it. What is the right thing to do, period, which is how I think they looked at it, and mm-hmm. they took turns going back to school so that they could be better individuals for the whole. The flip side of that is they could have looked at the situation. You know, the guy could have said, what is the right thing to do for me? Wow, I've done something that's going to mess up my whole life, so I need to basically walk away from that and finish school and go on to education. That's the right thing to do for me.
But let's take that story that we started with and just tweak it a tiny bit. They started off in this situation. They got married young, and then they both decided to go better their careers, and everything's fine now, and everything's great. Let's tweak that story one tiny bit. They get married when they're young. They both start to go and better themselves with their careers, and one of them gets sick with something they can't work. Now we're back to one person supporting the relationship. And even though you can't control an illness, that will create some resentments. So now, if everybody was making good money and everything was happy and we liked each other and we've been together and we got married and we're going to do the right thing here, that person who is still working and now having to take care of the other person might start to say the right thing for them is, I don't want to be a caretaker forever. And I'll tell you something, because I want to get your guys' opinion on this. I have known so many older people who, when their spouse dies, if the person is able to go on after that, which most of them are, and even though they were married for 50 or 60 years, if the husband or wife was dead, and particularly the wives do this when the husband dies, because usually the husband dies first if everything goes according to plan, when the husband dies... and if he was ill at the end, and you go up to grandma, and you say, Grandma, have you ever thought about, you know, maybe just start hanging out with another guy to occupy your time now or something? I don't want to take care of another old man. Now, she might have liked grandpa, but she's older now.
She recognizes that difficulty.
She doesn't want to do that anymore.
Right.
And I think in young people, that can happen too.
But it didn't change the fact that she loved him and stayed there and did it.
No.
You know, here's the thing. Now, you would talk about and we've talked about this morning, we've talked about it several times in the show, how people depend on a relationship to fulfill them, okay? Or they depend on whatever that is. If that's not something ultimately, if we have to find what is the right thing to fulfill our lives, lives change, okay? Say there's that person in your relationship and they do get sick and you're young, okay? What if it was you? I mean, you look at them, okay, I'm taking care of my wife. She can't be intimate anymore because she's half paralyzed, whatever the case may be. So, you know, I need to take care of myself. What's the most important thing to you? Do you care about them? Do you love them enough? And back to this word love. Love is an action word. It's a commitment. It is not an emotion. And we in America, we think too much is love being an emotion. You know, you love that person enough that you're going to stay with them through thick and thin. And then you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say this. If I were where they're at, would I want them to leave and better their life? Or would it be heartbroken for them to be gone? And the thing is, love... I'll give you another good example. I've talked before on the show about Johnny Erickson Tata.
Yeah.
Johnny was a diver when she was in high school and college, and she dove off. She's older than I am. She dove off a pier and broke her neck and spent the rest of her life. She is paralyzed from the neck down, completely paralyzed. She started out making a living by doing greeting cards, writing with a pencil in her mouth, and she did very well. And then over time, she came to know the Lord and really grew in her faith. And she could always speak. Her mouth always worked. So she did a lot of writing books. She did a lot of conferences and women's conferences and all these kind of things. But guess what happened several years ago? She married a guy by the name, his last name's Tata. She is now John Erickson Tata. This man married her. They have a wonderful marriage. And this woman has never been able to be any form of intimate with him. So the point is, difficult situations don't mean that they can't be fulfilling still. And I would like to look at a situation like when it's said and done, when that person's finally gone, when I'm at the end of my life, did I do the honorable thing and the right thing, and did I still grow in love with this person? Or do I have to look back thinking, wow, I abandoned them when they were really down? And I think that another good example I'll put in that, and I'll turn it back over to you guys, is this is a hard subject. A lot of times when we're talking about abortion, we talk about, you know, one of the things that people will always come back and say, well, what about rape? What about incest? What about those things? And there's something that there's something in the room that nobody ever talks about with that. And that is, the argument is always, do I get rid of it? Because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of pain involved, especially through either one of those situations are horrific. And especially if it's a young person, or it doesn't matter if they're young or old, but young people is really bad what can go on in families and outside of families. But here's the thing. What if a counselor sat down and said, you know what? You're going through the worst thing in the world. I can't imagine what you're going through. You're heartbroken. You're sick. You don't want any part of this. But here's the thing. There's a life in you. And why don't we take something very bad and make something good out of it? And down the road, maybe you can look back and feel that you did the right thing. And maybe someone would like to have that beautiful child that you're carrying. And even though you don't, if you want to keep it fine, but if you don't, you know, maybe someone give that child growing you a chance at a wonderful life. And then down the road, as that happens, after it's all said and done, that person can always look back and say, you know what, I pray they're having a wonderful life and I did a good thing. Rather than, you can talk to women all day long, and I have never talked to a woman that has gone through that hasn't had some regrets of what if I. But see, the point is, we never even counsel in that direction. It's always, you know, you need to get rid of this to make things better. What if getting rid of it doesn't make things better? And the point is that we're always looking for, in whatever our situation is, in feeling better. Well, sometimes for a time being, things are going to be difficult and they're not going to make you feel better. That spouse that gets sick, that person that doesn't quite turn out to be that. But if people work together and desire the right thing, the greater thing of doing what's right versus doing what Craig said, you know, doing what makes me feel good, in the long run, you get a far greater fulfillment or happiness than you do always chasing what you want.
Well, I think it's the two points you just made are very interesting. Number one, on the person being ill and walking out on them, why can't I be there even though we can't maybe do what we used to do? I don't think the person ever sees it that way. Again, I think it's perception is reality. I don't think they see. If they saw it that way, they wouldn't do it. If they said, I'm leaving this person because they're sick and we can't be intimate or we can't do the things we used to do, we can't go out every Friday night. If they really thought it, tell that story to your parents and your family. Well, why did you leave that person? Well, they were sick. No.
Well, what they say is, I just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. Or they come up with another reason. It just wasn't working anymore. It just wasn't. They don't see it that way, because if they saw it that way, they would realize how bad they really looked.
See,
in the end,
Scott, we need to go back and start seeing it that way. That's my whole point. We've left this point in America where we do the right thing
because it's the right thing.
We've left that a long time ago. Back in, even when I was growing up, and I'm not that old, but I'm old enough, but the thing was, if you got a young lady pregnant, guess what? You married her because it was the right thing. And I've seen so many of those marriages turn out wonderfully over the years. As high a percentage as anyone's marriage, because they made a right. They were already the kind of person that was going to make the right decision to begin with. So they work on their marriage. Today, you know, a girl says, hey, Bobby, guess what? I'm pregnant. He says, well, I'll see if I can find the money, take care of it. Or, you know, if she does say, well, I'm going to keep this baby, well, go down and sign up for A, B, or C. You know, guys used to go in the service so they'd have a good income to take care of the wife, the girl that they just, I mean, because what happened in America when we stopped doing the responsible right thing and taking personal responsibility? I mean, look where we're at today, for crying out loud.
But, you know, I do think that's person to person, because I do think there are still the people who would say, I want to marry you because I think that's the right thing to do, and that's the responsibility.
Right.
But see, everything, even when you were talking about abortion there, there has never been a law in this country that said you must have an abortion. In whatever situation you're in, you must have an abortion. No, so all these abortions were choices.
Yes.
So if this is what I've always wondered about abortion in general, is we can make laws against it. We can make laws saying it's legal. Ultimately, there has never been a law by demand of the state, by the government, that you have to have one. Nobody's ever said that.
No.
Every abortion that ever happened was a choice. So if you wanted to stop it, and you would have to really do what you're saying, you would have to make people decide that the right thing to do, in your opinion, and because I don't want to,
right?
Some
right,
people
I
are no better.
Right.
So I don't.
No, what I'm saying is, Scott, I'm not saying we should have a law making. But, you know what I'm saying is, allow the conversation and the counseling. You tell me, find me today a counselor that's out there saying, you know what I said, let's look long term, and let's. You're not going to find that, because all the social things that these young people go to, Planned Parenthood and all of them, are saying you need to just get rid of it, get on with your life.
Well,
I'm saying that give people options. It just seems today, as soon as somebody has an issue with their marriage, the first thing to do is, well, you're not fulfilled, you're not happy, you need to get out of it. And we throw away everything today. We throw away our marriages, we throw away, it's so easy. You know, I know people that file bankruptcy every 7 years because they go out and do everything, and then, well, you know, I can't handle this anymore. Why don't we come back to a sense of commitment and responsibility.
And I'm not saying there should be a mandatory law. I guess what I was saying, or that you thought there should be a mandatory law. What I'm saying was that it's interesting to me because it does become a political thing. Obviously, we just had a vote that was the underlying factor, and we're going to have a vote in November in regard to this whole issue of abortion. But what's interesting to me is, first of all, the majority of people in this country have not had abortions. It's not even close. Men, 50% of this country, can't have an abortion by physical stature. So that's part of it as well, because when the politicians are out there, whether they're pro-life or pro-choice or however they're going to come down in November on this things, and I think we're going to see some very ugly ads between now and November.
Oh, of course we will.
The point is that, you know, I'm just thinking of big name Hillary Clinton, who is pro-choice, which means for abortion rights, has never had an abortion. Well, but that's what we can say that. But the truth of the matter is, Sarah Weddington, who argued the case, the late Sarah Weddington, who I had on my program, who argued Roe versus Wade, she had not had an abortion. She was a woman. The majority of people who are for abortion rights have not had abortions. So again, it is a choice you make in your life.
It's always a choice.
So, but why?
We have always got to have the choice of right and wrong.
Exactly.
Or what we perceive as right and wrong.
Which is where this conversation starts, whether it's marriage, whether it's illness, whether it's abortion, whether it's people's future. You are making the choice. So why are you making the choices you're making? I think that's what should be examined.
I agree. And here's the thing. You know, we live in this regressive society. They call it a progressive society. I completely call it a regressive society. And the reason I say so is this. Because with all this progressive stuff that's going on in this country in the last 60, 70 years, we have, look at it across the board, we have more mental health issues. We have more people on mind and mood altering drugs than anywhere or any time in the world. We have unbelievable rate of teen suicide, they didn't even keep track of years ago because it didn't happen. The violence in the world. I mean, everyone says, what are we going to do about gun violence? How about violence, period? When I was in school, we carried shotguns in the back window of our truck because we went home hunting with our buddies.
Everybody carried a pocket knife.
Yeah, nobody got shot. Nobody got cut. The point is, all these progressive things that are happening, the meltdown across the board in our society is unbelievable. And you know what they keep blaming it on? The old conservative values. Well, the old conservative values, this stuff wasn't going on. So how do you keep using that as your go-to and your blame? And we say, oh, we need more freedoms. We need to feel better about ourselves. Look, everybody knows, if they have any sense at all, is that discipline in our lives and in what we do gets you forward. If you're going to start a business tomorrow, if that business is going to be successful, you have to be disciplined in how you approach it, in what you do, or it's going to fall apart. Discipline follows through with everything. The Bible tells us that those God loves, he disciplines. Why? Because discipline is something that will keep you going and on the right track. And we have to have more discipline in our lives. We just can't try to make a Band-Aid and everything better for everyone. I think we're actually trying to not only legislate morality in this country, but we're trying to legislate our feelings, how we feel, what's going to make us feel good. And it just doesn't work. I mean, over and over again, we're seeing people that are living in dire straits. We have never had a time in this country, ever, where domestic violence is at the rate that it is now. And you know what they talk about? About back in the old days when the guys and the wife beaters abused their wives. And I'm thinking, are you serious? I grew up then. Yeah, there's always been men that abuse women, right? Always been. Compared to the rate in which that happens today, it's minute. But yet we go back about, boy, women haven't women just been wonderfully liberated? You know, come on, think about it. I agree in equal job, equal money for men and women. Why wouldn't you? I mean, those are points that are important. But we have so taken away with this anything goes mentality. We have taken away our self-respect. We have taken away. Women were meant to be put on a pedestal and loved and adored by men and treated with unbelievable respect. And I don't know I'm hard-pressed to find a young man today that will show any respect whatsoever for a teenage girl. And I remember the days when, you know, if a girl is going to like you, you better respect her or show her. You better be that person. So why isn't it a good idea to say maybe we need to pull back and we need to start thinking about what have we lost, not what can we keep changing to make things better, and go back and think, you know, we need to go back to personal responsibility. We need to go back to doing what is truly the right thing for the right situation, not the right thing for me. We are a horribly selfish society. There, I preached.
That was okay. That was okay.
We are very selfish, and part of that has been a breakdown in all levels of respect. People don't have self-respect. People don't have respect for authority. People don't have respect for, you know, with this whole toxic masculinity in society, women don't have respect for men, godly men, proper men. Men don't have respect for women. And just, people don't have respect for school teachers. I mean, you know, all levels and kinds of authority. Parents. A classic example, when I was growing up, I was not on a first name basis with one single adult.
You better not be.
Right. Everybody was Mr. This, Mrs. That, Miss That. Now children are on a first name basis with adults. Every adult in their life, they're on a first name basis with.
Sometimes even their parents.
Right. So where's the respect there? So, you know, we have lost all, you know, sense of respect, you know, proper respect. You know, people are respected for different reasons, just because of age, just because of their job, just because of the authority they have, you know, based on the law that they are there to protect. But there's no sense of respect in the society today.
No, there isn't. Well, what do you think about this, Scott?
Well, I think it's interesting because I don't, you know, teaching in the schools, a lot of times, obviously when I was in school, I don't think there ever was a teacher that I did not call Mr. or Mrs. whoever it was, but I will say that I let the kids call me Scott, but I will also say, because for me, honestly, I just don't feel, I'm uncomfortable with them calling me Mr. this or Mr. I just don't like that, because I like to talk to high school kids who I'm dealing with, especially. I don't like to talk to them like babies. I don't like to talk down to them. And I feel if you're calling me that, I'm a little bit up on a hill over you. But I will also say, conversely, in more than 20 years of teaching now, I have never sent anybody to the principal's office. I couldn't cite you one example, and apparently I'm in a school where a lot of examples of this go on. I've never had anybody say anything to me that resulted in any altercation. I've never had an altercation. But I don't think that's because of how they're referring to me. I think that's because of how I treat them and how they treat me and the level that we're on. And I think what has happened now in society is not so much where we were. I think how people were has led us into this interesting financially based society we're in. If you look at most people's problems, they will start with their financials. If somebody's upset about something, the first thing they go to, I don't have the money for this. I don't have the money for that.
That's interesting, Scott. That's a good point. But it's kind of interesting that I grew up in an era when it all started. And what I mean by that, it started with the Penny's card. You know, there was no Visa, no MasterCard, but suddenly women could get a Penny's card and she could get the things in her home that they didn't have the money for and then pay on a little at a time. Well, first she started getting a part-time job to cover that. And then we had this whole transition into women working full-time. I remember when people used to buy things based on what they could afford, and we never felt poor in our family. I knew people made more money than my parents, but I didn't feel poor because that's who we were, is what we had, and we lived within our means. How nice to go out and buy something and pay for it and not have to worry about when the payment comes. And that's how we used to function. And it was, we are playing Monopoly in our lives. It's like a Monopoly board. We were playing a game where someone's got to pay the piper at some time, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in how we treat people. Do you know, you talk about students calling you Mr. Spears. Do you know there was a time when you called your boss at work Mr. Jones, Mr. This, Mr. That, and now it's what's up, Bob? You know, and you know, we have to learn that we need to have certain levels of understanding and respect for people if we're going to get anywhere in life.
You know what I think a lot of that was, though? I think, again, that was a choice that people made. I don't think Mr. Smith said, call me Mr. Smith.
No, but people should. Here's the whole point, Scott. All this stuff is choices.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, we don't need to pass any laws to make any of this stuff happen.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No, and I don't believe in laws dictating what we do. I don't believe in. The point being this, that I just wish that people would realize they need to go back and look at their heart, where they really are and what they really need.
Well, I mean, I can, like I said, with the school thing, because I think it's an interesting example, no teacher ever came to me and said, call me Mrs. blah, blah, blah. Call me Mr.
It was
blah.
A given.
You just did it. And that's the way it went. And that's the way, that's how you did it. But
I'd call one of them Bob and you were getting paddled.
You could have. But nowadays, there's a different dynamic there. But also, teachers are different nowadays. You know, you have to take some responsibility about how teachers interact with kids now.
Absolutely.
Now, you can get a hold of your teacher at midnight through email. Cell phones are given out. You know, it's mandatory through school, social media. Here's your homework assignments that you can get on the internet. There's a whole different dynamic now of what people can see inside your life.
We have opened a Pandora's box.
Exactly.
I don't know how we're going to close
and you,
it.
I don't think you can. And ultimately, the problem is that we talked, what does love mean? You know, we talked about the first hour, and we've talked about it here. What does love mean? Well, unfortunately for very shallow people, what love means is financial security. Are you be happy Saturday night sitting on a couch watching a rerun, not at the amusement park or the resort.
And you know, that's where I'm at. And my wife said to me the other night, we were just sitting home and we hadn't been pressed to do anything all day. And she said, you know what, isn't this great? But you know, I want to say this. This is what I guess I would like a takeaway on today's show, is that it starts with you. You have to make a personal decision that I'm going to go back to basics of doing what's right, knowing what's best for our family, what's best for our lives, and I'm going to make the decision regardless of what's going on in society, regardless of what laws pass or aren't passed, regardless of what everyone does, I'm going to pull back and we're going to start doing sensible things and doing what's right. And if we do that individually, you'll win. You'll be a winner. And you know, they say it only takes a spark to get a fire going. It's true. And as other people see that, I would love to see a huge grassroots movement in this country for people to say, you know what, let's go back to simplicity and doing what's right. And I'm out.
Yep. Pastor Craig, we got some time left here.
All I can say, Steve, is amen to all that.
Well, and you know, one day, I think, hopefully in their own lives, people will make the right choice for them, and everything will turn out okay.
Look at the bigger picture.
Look long-term.
What is the right thing to do?
Because regret also comes with that, too, which we can't get to. But later on, you could regret the decision you've made if you've made the wrong one.
That's a good show, too. What
are regret.
You doing to regret?
It's a good follow-up next week. Regret for
right
next
now.
Week. Yeah, you can catch this show every Friday morning, 9:15 to 10 a.m., and we'll be back in 15 minutes.
Legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just fixed my prayer to the real God. I said, hey, man, they're awesome.